It's true, isn't it? Jesus never fails. A couple of things I was thinking about I wanted to mention. The rapture. We know the rapture is imminent. And when you go through what we've been through this week, you hope for the rapture real soon. That would be great. Sooner the rapture occurs, sooner we get to see David. And then all the other loved ones that we could add to that list. And that brings it real home real close. You know, we always say we want the rapture to come, but it has new meaning for us tonight. And then Dale said in the middle of the storm, he said the other day, I'm sure going to be looking forward to going to prayer meeting after this, more so. He always has, but it just, more than ever, he says, I'm going to look forward to going to prayer meeting. That midweek boost with God's people, a little oasis in the middle of the week where we can come and encourage one another, these prayers and testimonies and so forth. Now take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like to say, I want to, your family, most all of you, and midweek prayer meeting crowd, kind of the, like the disciples, Jesus had three inner circle disciples of 12, and my prayer meeting folk are my inner circle folk here, so I can talk more openly maybe than I would on Sunday morning. So what I'm going to say is that if I probably had my brothers, I'd be locked inside of a room tonight somewhere, just, and probably Ellen too, just by ourselves. If I can stand up here and talk without breaking up and have a smile on my face, it's not because I'm not in great pain. I want you to know that, and I'm not asking for any sympathy, but I'm just saying that we are hurting deeply, more deeply than we've ever known hurt. And I know that Marty and Dale would say the same thing. So I want you to know where we're coming from. Not that I want more of your sympathy or support. You've given more than we could ever imagine. But I want to be honest with you. I don't want you to think that there's a superhuman person up here that's able to get up in the midst of the darkest hour of his life and put on a stiff front and smile and there's nothing wrong and everything's okay. It's not okay. Everything's not okay. We're hurting deeply in our hearts. And I know that you feel that because you're hurting too. Our church family's hurting. Not just us. It's our whole family that hurts. And not just our family, but a broader family of God that hurts. And I'm going to share with you some just a few email messages of folks that we've heard from around the country. But I was thinking about some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because one of the emails I got this weekend was from one of our missionaries, and he quoted in his scripture, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 12, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. You are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And that's so true. We if one of us suffers, we all. So, and probably in a church of our size, there's somebody suffering most all the time. Thank God there's somebody rejoicing too from time to time. So we have suffering, we have rejoicing. Sometimes the suffering is more intense, just like physical suffering. Sometimes there's suffering that we can live with. Sometimes there's suffering that seems to be almost unbearable. So there's different levels of suffering. But when one of us suffers, we all suffer. All the members suffer with it. And we have experienced your suffering with us, and that's been a great source of strength. As I said, Monday night was just unbelievable. The people that came out to show their support and love and prayer stood in line for some over 2 hours just to greet Marty and Dale and express to them their heartfelt sympathies. And that's just one thing. There's been so many other things that you have done and others have done. People that we have not even known that closely. So it's a great body of Christ. In the body of Christ, I've got jotted down two or three things. There's an intricate design to this body. Notice God made it, verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So it's a body that's of intricate design, obviously, because the Lord made it. And He's able to make a body like that. And when He talks about the body here, He's talking about the body of Christ, the church. And He's talking about the local church. And there is a larger body of Christ, the universal church, or the church composed of all believers of all ages, which never has really met yet, but it's in prospect. It's going to meet one of these days. So the body we know of is the local church, this local body. And it's the body of Christ. And so it's one body, just like our physical body. There's a tremendous analogy here, or illustration. Is one body, but yet hath many members. There's diversity in this body. Diversity, many members. We're not all the same. We're a diverse body. We all have different gifts, and that's the subject of this passage here, the differing gifts that we have. We all have different work to do, different jobs. We're designed intricately with diversity and distinctness. We're distinct. There's an ear, there's an eye, there's a hand, there's a foot. There are distinct members of the body. There's the head, the Lord Jesus. There are feet, there are toes, there are nails. There's all of this diversity with distinctness. It's a marvelous body. That's true of the physical body, true, obviously. And by the same comparison, it's infinitely more true of the spiritual body, the body of Christ. It's divinely designed. It's intricately designed by God with diversity and distinctness. That makes it unlike any other body in the world. There's nothing like the local church in the whole wide world. There are many organizations. There are many para-church organizations. That is, not churches, but they kind of function like church. And there are home churches, like there are home schools, there are home churches. And I guess, obviously, a church can meet in a home, but if a group of people just meet in a home and read Scripture and have some social time, that's not really a local church, and that's not what the Bible teaches. But anyway, we have one body with many members. Thank God the way He made His body. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's complete. There's no lack to it. If it's a healthy body, and the body of Christ is, there may be local assemblies that are not healthy. If we need revival, if we're full of sin, if we're serving, then we've got a sickness in the body. But if the body is healthy, then it's moving along, doing its work as no other body could ever do. And God made it that way. I thank Him for the body of Christ. And when the body is working and functioning as it was designed to function by its designer, divinely, it is an incomparable body. And the world is awed by it. The world is awed by it. If an unbeliever came here yesterday, they would have been awed by this, by the body of Christ. If they'd seen people working in the kitchen, working to serve 100 people or more for dinner, if they'd have seen the people Monday night coming out to pour out their love, if they had seen people in the hospital coming by to leave food and to just pray and to be there, if they could have seen, as I saw and others saw that were there, if they could have seen this body in operation, they would have seen a marvelous creation, something with diversity, something with distinct members, each working together to get a job done. It's a marvelous thing. Then I noticed in this passage there's a interdependence in this body. Not only is there an intricate design, there's interdependence. There is unity. Notice verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many, many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. We're not many bodies. We're not a lot of bodies. We're one body. There's unity. We're unified. We move as one. We don't move a little bit here and there and one here and then one. No, if we move forward, it's all of us. We're moving together. That's why we're praying for revival, that we might move forward, onward Christian soldiers. That's our prayer. There's unity and there's utility. Notice down in verse 21, the eye cannot say unto the ear, hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There's a unity in the body and there's utility. Every member has a job to do. Every member is useful. You are useful. You are vital. If this body moves forward and gets any work done for Christ, you're going to have to move forward if you're part of this body. You may be the little hand. You may be the little toe. You may be the eyelash or the eyebrow or whatever. The earlobe seemed to be so, doesn't seem to be doing much up there, but there's a purpose for it. God made it. Other than to just pierce through with a hole, God made it for a purpose, I'm sure. Maybe that's the purpose. I'm not saying it isn't. It does serve a good purpose that beautifies a woman's face. But anyway, utility. Every member has a job. That's the point here. In this body, you have a job. I have a job. You can't do my job. I can't do yours effectively. But if we all do our job, if the body gets its job done, are you doing your job? Do you know what your job is, little member? Do you know where you fit into this body? I hope you do. I hope you do, because if you're not, you're extraneous. You're not doing what God wants you to do, and you could be just a hindrance to the body. Don't do that. God doesn't want us to be that. He wants us. He's created us for utility. He's made us for unity. As one body, we move forward. So there's intricate design. There's interdependence. Thirdly, there is indiscriminate distinction. Notice verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. God doesn't distinguish us as Jews and Gentiles now, or as bond or free, or as male or female even. We're one in Christ Jesus. We're one in Him. We're brothers and sisters. We're children of God. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're in Christ as one. So I say there's indiscriminate, not discriminatory, not Jew, not Gentile, not black, not white, not educated or uneducated, just members of the body. We're just members of the body. We're in Christ Jesus. There's no distinction. That gives us great, great encouragement that at the cross, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no big shots. There's no little shots. We're just all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, all sons of God, children of God by faith, just members of the body. Now, we all just, you know, because one's a head and one's a foot and one's a hand and one's an eye, doesn't mean one's more important than the other. You cripple one of these little members and see how important it is. You're going to be handicapped until that member gets working again. Larry Huffman had a trigger finger operated on just a couple weeks ago. He couldn't straighten his finger out, one of them. I think it was this one. And he was handicapped. He couldn't do his job. He's a barber. He cuts hair, and he couldn't do his job. And that one little finger that wouldn't operate right sent him to the doctor, sent him to the hospital, sent him to surgery because that body just wasn't working right. You might be that little finger or some other little part of the body. You might say, well, if I take a vacation or if I just get inactive for a while, what's it matter? Just try it and see. Our body won't move forward. We'll be sick. We'll be hurting. We'll not be able to get the job done that the Lord wants us to do. So help us, would you please? Then, so there's intricate design, there's interdependence, there's indiscriminate distinction, and finally, there's infinite delineation. Verses 17 to 22, notice, The whole body, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now God has set members, every one of them in the body, as it's pleased Him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. There's infinite delineation. God says, I've got every one of you numbered and named and set in place, and I've described your job for you. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head of the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of one body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So I thank God for this body, the body that He has created. I thank God for a larger body. There's a great family of God out there, and I want to share with you how that family has responded just a little bit. Forgive me for having to read some. I'm not going to read all these letters, but just highlights. But I'm going to read a little more extensively from this first one. We've supported LaVon and Carolyn Waters, missionaries to Spain, for as long as I've been here, and I'm sure longer, so over 30 years. And they said, dear brother and family, we continued to read the updates about David on your webpage, and it was with great sorrow of heart that we read of his death. We know this is a very difficult time for all of you, and especially for David's mom and dad. Our own hearts were torn asunder when we lost our precious daughter, Connie, at age 21, back in 1979. She was newly married, 8 months, and fell ill with some flu-like symptoms also. She was taken to the hospital and less than 12 hours later was diagnosed with viral pneumonia. Her heart stopped and she was revived, but only lived a few more hours. We had talked with her by phone the same morning on the day she died. We had buried another of our children. We were missionaries in Uruguay. Patricia was born with spina bifida and after several operations went to be with the Lord at age 4 months. However, Connie's death was so much harder for us. Many tears were shed and many months went by before God finally gave us acceptance and sweet peace. Then I've attached a poem. He said, as we flew from the U.S. to the U.S. from Spain, the Lord impressed upon our hearts several verses that we would like to share with you. Lamentations 3:22-24, that is, His compassions fail not, His mercies are new every morning. Also verses 31, 33, 37, 38. We found that every morning we could get up and face a new day because of His mercy and His compassion. We know the first few weeks and months will be very difficult, but we have experienced the peace that passeth all understanding, that filled our hearts and minds little by little. You are in our prayers as well as those of our local church here in Guadalajara. Our thoughts and prayers will be with you tomorrow during the funeral. You know, there's people all over this world and churches. I'm going to read a couple more praying for us, our church, praying for you and us as we suffer. Ed Nelson, our evangelist friend from Denver, writes, just this morning I found the letter from Baptist World Mission concerning the untimely death of your grandson. We're so sorry to hear about this. Our hearts go out to you. May the Lord comfort you. Praise God. He is the God of all comfort, and He will carry you through this difficult time. We will pray for you and your family during this difficult time. Let us know if there's a memorial fund of some kind. Thank the Lord. His grace is sufficient. We will be praying for you through this time. Dave and Faye Young are missionaries to Albania. They've just resigned, but they write, we are so sorry to hear the loss of your grandson. That has to be very difficult for you and your family. Please know that our sympathy is with you. God's people are praying for you. Thank you for caring about the people of the world through missions. May God provide strength and comfort to you and your family. Ed and Sylvia Christie, Jana and Grant in France, our own missionaries from Thompson Road to France, write, we just wanted to let you know that we've been keeping all of you in our prayers. Our hearts ache with you. May God's grace enfold you during these difficult times. Fred Moritz, former pastor here, our evangelist friend and mission director at Baptist World Mission. I wish I could be there, but it's impossible. I will be in Ankeny, Iowa, teaching a missions class. There's just no way to get away for a day. I'm praying for you, Ellen, Dale, Marty, and the other children. Judy and I remember so vividly what we experienced when Jimmy went to heaven, and our hearts go out to you. They lost a little boy when he was just about 8 or 9 years of age. Tom Johnson writes, missionary to Cambodia. You, your wife, your daughter and son-in-law, and your church were prayed for last night under prayer meeting. Cambodia. Here in Cambodia, our hearts are saddened for your loss, and we're praying that you will sense the loving arms of God, the God of all comfort, and will surround you during this time and the months ahead. We're asking God to do a work in hearts during the service on Tuesday. Amen. Gentleman that used to attend here, Dennis Shelton. My heart was saddened to learn of the loss of your grandson. I know even though your son-in-law and daughter are Christians, they are still going to be in pain. I know this pain as I lost a son in 1981. I know he's in heaven, but the pain has never gone away. I pray that God's grace will sustain your family through this heartache. I know the pain will be especially hard on you. Being a grandpa, I became a grandpa last February. Tell your daughter and son-in-law I'm sorry for the loss of their son. God's richest blessings on your family. Jim Haddock's pastor over in Terre Haute, our prayers are with you and your family at this time. Little David has just passed through those precious doors into a life without end. I can't imagine the relief for him, but the testimony for us who follow. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Joe Henderson, a member of Colonial Hills, a very godly man. Since we heard of David's homegoing, we have been much in prayer for your family. Morning, noon, and night, we're bringing you before the throne, and we'll continue to do so for many days to come. We know you have the viewing today and are especially praying. The man of sorrows will stand by you, stand with you by that precious casket, his everlasting arms wrapped around you. We're claiming Isaiah 40:29 for you during these days. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. We love you, friends. Steve Love, the pastor, says, be assured of our prayers for your entire family this time. May that added measure of grace be evident upon you, and may the name of Christ be lifted as his sovereign will is accepted during this hurt. And we can say amen to that. Amen to that and amen. I'm a close friend of Roger and Mary Perrow and attend Noss Baptist Fellowship. This is from Ireland. Every one of us since Friday have been heartbroken for you, and we don't even know you. That's the family of God, isn't it? I hope this love from all of us here in Ireland and from God will sustain you even just a little. We will be thinking of you, especially on Tuesday. May God help you all. Tigran Agamalian and Tina from Lithuania. We trust that David is in the presence of the Lord, rejoicing and singing glory to our Savior. How precious it is just to think about that glorious day when we will gather together at the feet of Jesus. And finally, and I got three times as many, but I'm not going to read any more, but Mrs. Hernandez and Brother Hernandez from Havana sent a note, and this is not that note, but they send their condolences. We're so saddened to hear about David's home going. Please pass on our heartfelt love and prayers to the Nyes and to the Sluices. We will be praying for the family, especially on Tuesday. May our loving Creator and Lord wrap each of you close to Himself. That's from Jeff and Heather Setzer. So I'm encouraged. I've been greatly encouraged. I'm going to make these available, first of all, to Dale Marty, but anybody that wants to just read through them, because this is a demonstration of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've got a great family, many members, but one body. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the love, the outpouring of love from the family of God around the world. It's staggering. I've thought about often this weekend, and my mom and dad, who buried an 11-year-old boy in 1947, and they did not have a church that preached the Bible to turn to. They did not have Christian friends to hold them up. They barely knew the Lord Jesus, just made a profession. They didn't know anything of your word. And my, what a difficult time that must have been. It's hard when you have this family, but I can't imagine what that would be like. Thank you for this family of God here and for the greater family of God that's around the world. People in Cambodia and Scotland and Ireland, everywhere, praying for this church as we hurt and suffer and for these families. Bless tonight what we've learned. We thank you for the wonderful, divinely designed body that you made and fit us into. Now help us to do our job, to find our place, to not go limp on the front lines, but to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Comfort us, bless those families that are hurting. We know that life continues to move forward, and even as we met tonight, another family member has been taken from the circle, and there'll be grieving hearts again to comfort. So help us to be good comforters, even as we receive Your comfort. Bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.